Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in another week of the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. So glad to have you with us. Hope everybody had a safe and great Thanksgiving with lots of food and family time. And glad to be back with you today after no show Thursday or Friday. The sports world continued on, obviously. Indiana basketball gets a win. It wasn't always pretty over South Dakota State on Saturday, but Indiana does what it was supposed to do. Again, it wasn't pretty at times throughout the whole month of November, but they finish 7-0. And in just a few short days, we are going to find out, I think, really after that first or second game this month, so much more about this Indiana team and what maybe their ceiling truly is for this 2019-2020 season. That all coming up here again in just days as the competition level completely changes for this Indiana team, and we'll see how they adjust. We'll see how they raise their competitive level, their ability to compete with high major opponents, and we're going to find all that out very soon. IU football, a winner. It was almost a tale of two different halves on Saturday afternoon, but Indiana does find a way to get it done. It wasn't pretty for the Hoosiers. It hasn't been great the last couple weeks. Not that anyone expected wins over Michigan or Penn State. Michigan got a little ugly, a little sloppy at times, I thought, and the same with Purdue. But Indiana did regroup. Indiana found a way to win. Indiana has had a historic college football season for the level, for the place, for where IU football is at, a historic season as they get ready now to go bowling and play in a bowl game in postseason football, which is going to be fun to follow and see where this team goes. That's kind of the next big news point about IU football is where do they go. We'll talk about that some today as well. Also, I'm going to get into this more in a little bit, but what in the world is going on with Romeo Langford and all of these injuries? It was great to see on, I guess, was it Saturday night? Everything's running together now, but it was great to see him back. I saw that he was in the lineup for the main Red Claws. Boston had sent him down, I think, on Saturday afternoon, officially on the wire after some rehab of the ankle. And so didn't know if he'd come back with their next game or if it would be later this week, but he did return yesterday. He was going to play limited minutes. It looked like he was on a path to play about 20 minutes in their game yesterday in the G League, and he got 17 minutes in, and he was having a really good performance in the game. I think he was at double figures, 11 points or something like that, and then Romeo goes down. And, you don't see a lot of emotion from Romeo Langford when he makes a shot, when he misses a shot, when his team wins, when his team loses. But when he went down yesterday, I don't know if it was because of pain, I don't know if it was because of disappointment, or maybe it was frustration with all of these injuries that he's had to deal with, these nagging-type injuries that have not only kept him from any minutes with the Boston Celtics, but really any rehab minutes with the main Red Claws. He goes down again. It doesn't look like there has been no official statement or anything from Brad Stevens or the Celtics. It doesn't look like, according to some other reports that are out there, that is terribly serious, but none of the injuries that he's had since getting to Boston have been terribly serious. Obviously, the injury at IU was serious. It required surgery and a long sit period, a long out period. But these recently, a groin tick, a right knee sprain, now an ankle sprain, it looks like. These all have cost him a number of games and really a number of opportunities. And I don't know if I've ever seen a guy, and maybe it's just that we care more about him than we do other rookies or other players in professional basketball, but I don't know if I've seen a guy with this bad of luck getting injured and having little dings happen to him that are keeping him out of some very valuable experiences. And, you know, if you read these Boston websites and if you read the newspapers there that cover the Celtics and if you read the blogs that maybe get a little bit more in-depth into lineups and the future and prospects and where things stand with this Boston team, no one's giving up on him. It sounds like he's still – in fact, they're frustrated maybe that he hasn't had a chance to help with some things at the Boston level coming off the bench, because scoring off the bench, if you look at things for Boston, has been kind of a questionable thing. So let's hope that he gets healthy, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about it later today, but another injury, another minor injury, I think is the best way to say it for Romeo Langford as he tries to get his professional career underway, but has had constant setbacks. I think this is the fourth or fifth small little injury that has happened to him since he's been in Boston, since obviously the surgery on the hand and the recovery from that. So let's hope that things change for him. It has been a really, really tough start. And he was off to such a good start in the game, too. That's what's disappointing. You think, okay, he's back, he's healthy. It did say he was on a minutes limitation, and then he goes out, and obviously that's disappointing. So lots to get to today. This is the Hoosier Report. It's presented to you each day by CC Power Sports. We have a lot to cover today, some great guests that are going to join us. So let's jump right into today's show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. We'll talk more about IU basketball on Saturday and IU football's win over Purdue on Saturday as well in our headline segment. We'll also talk some high school basketball over the weekend. We had some local teams do really good and get you even more excited for the upcoming year. And we had some others that have, I think, some real question marks right now. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a bit. Later in the program, segment two, as always, on Monday, Zach Osterman is with us of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is our IU expert who joins the program on Mondays. We try to bring you some great IU guest every day to talk lots about Hoosier basketball and Hoosier football at this time of year. A lot of times after that Purdue game, even leading up, I'm guilty of this. I tell you, this is a basketball-dominated show. A lot of times, even leading up to the Purdue football game, interest is kind of waning. Yeah, people want to beat Purdue. That's a rivalry that's always going to matter, no matter what the regular season has been like for both teams. But Indiana football is going bowling. You could classify this as a historic season for IU football, given their recent standing in the game and in the conference. And so I know some of the wins haven't come against the best teams. I know there's ways you could say historic season. We'll break down the schedule this way. Do you still consider it historic then? Given where Indiana football's at and where it's trying to get, this year is definitely, I think, more than a step, a couple steps in the right direction. So it's just good to be still talking IU football strong heading into December. And, of course, next up, a bowl game for this Indiana team. We'll talk with Zach not only about IU Purdue, but where this team could go bowling at. And we'll finish up the month of November. It's not been real exciting, to be honest. Yes, the college basketball season is back. Who in the world has been excited to play some of these or watch some of these games other than the fact that college hoops is back of some of these opponents that Indiana has played? Now that all changes this month. We'll recap the month of November. We'll look ahead. Rob Phinisee out. Some concerning notes about him that I'm going to cover in just a moment. So we'll talk all that and more with Zach when he joins us in just a little bit. Then later in the program, Chad Gilbert. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown High School. He's also an IHSA executive board member, former coach in the area, and he's with me on Mondays. We always talk high school basketball, local sports, and more. And, of course, this was our first full week, our first week, really, of high school basketball games. We had some big performances. We had some teams that did exactly what you would expect them to do, get their season started in a big way, and we'll talk all of that and more with Chad when he joins me a little bit later in the program. That's the guest lineup brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch that'll be made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can interact with the show. Been getting more comments, more questions. We'll try to use them with our guest. Maybe your comment will get read on the air. You can get them to me a couple different ways and follow us a couple different ways as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can tweet me a question. You can DM me on Twitter. You can also follow the show, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison is what you have to type in on Facebook. Like our page, follow our podcast and everything going on there. and you can send a message there as well if you want to connect with the program. Let's get into our Athlete of the Week. I always forget on Mondays, we've got to go straight to the Athlete of the Week. It's the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. It's presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Each week we get the opportunity to recognize an outstanding athlete for their performances on the field, on the court. We've had some great winners in high school football. The last couple of weeks have been flooded with winners across the sport of girls basketball. Some really good performances there that we've been able to highlight. And so today we get in with the first full week of the boys basketball season to considering boys basketball performances, obviously, as well. Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg, pizza at its best, hometown pizza at its best. Their pizza is thin crust, made to order, sliced in squares. Sir Dano's, squarely the best, located in Sellersburg, not far from Silver Creek High School. This week, I think a number of performances caught my eye when you look at high school basketball. I'm going to go through a couple that really stood out. I thought Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 blocks, and a big, big win for Jeffersonville to start the season over a very good Cincinnati Woodward team on Saturday. That was down at a shootout in the Cincinnati area. Woodward has the nationally ranked, I think, an underclassman, a junior. Jeffersonville not only won the game, I think a 4 or 5 point win, but they led the game, the majority of the game, by a very big margin. And so for Trey to get his season started with that type of performance against that type of competition obviously deserves some recognition. He isn't going to be our Athlete of the Week this week. A couple others I do want to mention before we get to our Athlete of the Week. Matt Arthur, a freshman of New Washington, 24 points. He had 6 three-pointers. It was against Madison Shaw, obviously not the most talented high school team right now, but still, for a freshman, he's put up some points for New Washington. Also, another big performance was Davon Fuqua, 19 points in a victory over Rock Creek down at the Ligoti tournament for Clarksville. But our winner this week, I don't think anyone came close to him in week one of the high school basketball season. Silver Creek absolutely destroyed Columbus East, especially in the second half last week, led by Trey Kaufman. He was unstoppable, 36 points, 9 rebounds, and he also dished out 4 assists in a big win for Silver Creek. Again, that game was last week. Trey Kaufman, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Trey is obviously a very noted prospect. We talk about him a lot, not just for his successes over recent years with Silver Creek, but his recruitment as well. He's getting recruited by Indiana, by Purdue, by so many high major basketball programs. And the thought is there that Trey is taking the step not just to being a Division I prospect, but to being a player that is recruited basically on a national level. And that has happened because Virginia has been in to see him. There have been other schools that aren't just in the immediate area, although lots of obviously good ones, lots of Big Ten schools in our area, and of course Louisville as well, Kentucky with interest also. Trey was at one of their preseason events, kickoff events, like he was a lot of schools. But he's a player that's getting that attention, not just from local schools, and there's some great ones, but even expanded from that. And 36 points, 9 rebounds, that type of start to the season might tell you a little bit about what Trey Kaufman's doing right now and what he has the potential to do this season. And he's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week to start the boys basketball season here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And obviously a lot to get to. Indiana basketball wins, Indiana football wins, IU basketball 64-50 winners over South Dakota State. So a 14-point win for Indiana as they finish 7-0 and close out the month of November. I think when you look back at these games, Indiana has won. They are undefeated. Indiana has, it seems, found a way in the second half or late in the game to put some space between them and their opponent for the most part this month, which is, again, what you would expect against mid or lower level competitions. But I think you could really shoot some holes overall in some of Indiana's performances this month. And you hate to be negative, you hate to be too critical, but you also wonder what's ahead when they do take on a very athletic, a very legitimate Division I, high major Division I opponent, which is going to happen very soon for this team when they take on Florida State in Bloomington for the Big Ten ACC Challenge. One of the things that I think Indiana fans can take some comfort into the month of December with is Trace Jackson Davis. He had his fourth double-double, fourth and seventh game in seven games for the Indiana team, 19 points, 14 rebounds, four block shots, and he played 31 of 40 minutes for this Indiana team. I look at consistency, especially when you're playing lower to mid-level competition. You expect to win. You expect a guy like Trace Jackson Davis and others on the roster to be able to do some big things against that type of competition, but he's been consistent in doing it. Other players on the Indiana roster, they've looked great at times, but there's been not much consistency. Trace Jackson Davis, just a freshman, he really has been, I think, the most consistent player in the month of November for this team. So looking at that, obviously Indiana get gearing up down, and we'll see Trace Jackson Davis. I don't know if we'll see him with a double-double this month against any of the upcoming competition, but I think we'll see him with some good performances coming up as Indiana's schedule takes a step up as well. I'll tell you, another real concerning note about this team is that Rob Phinisee, who is clearly going to be and need to be Indiana's primary ball handler, he has now missed three of Indiana's last four games. And if you look, and I was reading this story on Inside the Hall after the game Saturday, if you look at some of Archie Miller's quotes in the post-game press conference, he made references to Rob Phinisee a couple times in the post-game presser after the games. One of the times, Miller said, quote, "Hopefully we can get Robert back at some point in time," quote, end quote. And that was kind of mixed in the middle of another statement. And then another reference to Rob Phinisee, he said, quote, "If we get Rob back here eventually," and of course, then there were some follow-up questions about what's going on, how serious it was, whether a medical red shirt was on the table. Someone asked as well, and the answer was from Archie Miller was, quote, "No, he's day-to-day with what we're doing, but I don't have a return date or when he's coming back to practice. He's kind of 50-50 on contact, non-contact, but no, there's no red shirt on the table right now." I think that's concerning. Obviously, with no medical red shirt being considered right now, it shouldn't be anything terribly serious. But when you don't have any idea of a return date, even to practice, not even talking about games, and you know what's ahead for this Indiana team as far as games go, a little bit concerning that Rob Phinisee, it does not look it's going to be here, at least over the next few games. Who knows beyond that? Also, turnovers, another issue. Second straight game that Indiana has had, I think, a real concern in the turnover category. 19 against South Dakota State on Saturday. And again, that is something that had been down earlier in the month of November, but the last couple games has crept up again. I had Romeo Langford down to talk about. I think we pretty much highlighted his problems right now. The injury came Sunday in his first game back from a right ankle sprain. Again, as I said, the team has not announced the exact deal with the injury, what the nature of the injury is, but he drove to the basket. He went down after going for a drive, immediately reached for his right foot as he kind of fell or leaned down toward the floor. Could not put any weight on his foot. He was helped off the floor. He had played at that point 17 minutes in the game, scored 14 points. I said 11. He had actually had 14 on a good 7 for 11 shooting. He had been on a 20-minute restriction as he was being worked back into the rotation. Of course, he originally sprained his ankle in the opener, the home opener for the Maine Red Claws in his first G League debut when he was sent down to the G League. And again, it's looked like the plan for Langford is going to be back and forth, practice a little bit with the Red Claws, play a lot with the Red Claws, get back to Boston, be on the bench for a lot of games, maybe get some minutes there if opening allows. But because of injuries, there hasn't been obviously any opportunities for him. So I think some great concern about Romeo and all the injuries right now. And obviously let's hope that that all gets better here pretty soon, pretty quick, and see if he can work his way just really into solid rotation at this point with the Red Claws. He's scoring. He's looking good in the few minutes and glimpses we've seen. Shot has been okay. 7 of 11 shooting's pretty good. Can he get it all back together? Can he get back out on the floor soon? Let's hope so. Obviously, Indiana football winner over the weekend. We're going to talk more about that coming up with Zach Osterman. Here's the thoughts as far as bowl projections for this team. If you tally them up, the Gator Bowl, I've seen three projections for Indiana to go to the Gator Bowl. I've seen two to return to the Red Box Bowl, two to go to the Pinstripe Bowl, one for the Music City Bowl in Nashville as well. Seems to be a little bit of a shift this week that Indiana might be a Gator Bowl team for this upcoming postseason in college football, which I think would be fine with a lot of Indiana fans, and I think good for the program as well as far as recruiting goes and trying to capitalize on what's been a really good regular season. Couple high school basketball notes before we close out our Zaxby's headlines today. Jeffersonville, a big win over the weekend. Trey Coleman led a very balanced effort. Cincinnati Woodward's good, very athletic, one of the good programs in Cincinnati. Jeff won 57-53, but I think led as much as 16 or 17 points in the game. Woodward has a nationally ranked prospect in the junior class, Paul McMillan, I believe. And I know a lot of coaches there watching that shootout over the weekend. A lot of good college prospects playing down in Mason, Ohio at the Ohio Valley Hoops Festival. Floyd Central, also a 20-point winner over Evansville Harrison. Jake Heidbreeder led the way. How about this? Providence at Tell City, a very tough place to play. A tie game, Providence basketball, and Nick Sexton hit basically a half-court shot and runs off as Providence gets a big win to open the season. Ryan Miller, the new coach at Providence, back there now as the head coach, gets his first career victory in exciting fashion. I got to see the video of Nick Sexton and his heave shot. It went in, looked awful good, and Providence gets the victory thanks to Nick Sexton. I think Nick will use that to have a big season. I think this will be a Providence team that really turns some corners this year, no question about it. New Albany went to Bloomington South. We knew they were without Julian Hunter, who has got an injury right now and is out for who knows if it's going to be a couple weeks, if it could be longer. But Trey Horrigan, another senior, did not play for disciplinary reasons over the weekend, and New Albany just absolutely looked out of sync. 68-43, New Albany was defeated by Bloomington South. And I will say this, New Albany obviously struggling without its two seniors. I do think the Bulldogs will be considerably better when they get, if they get Hunter back, is the hope. But Bloomington South, I'm not so sure that already after the first week of high school basketball, talking with other coaches in Bloomington on Saturday, other coaches in the area, some friends in Indianapolis, I think in 4A basketball, you put Bloomington South and Lawrence Central already at the top. Now, both of those teams come through the southern half of the state, so that could be a potential semi-state game. But clearly to me, and clearly from what I'm hearing, those two teams head and shoulders above all of the competition here locally and all of the competition throughout the other parts of the state in 4A basketball. And obviously we'll see how that plays out. Also, New Washington, a big winner over the weekend, 64-42 over Madison Shaw. Clarksville went 1-1 down at the Ligoti tournament. They lost to Ligoti in the first game. Then they beat Rock Creek in the second game. Glad to see high school basketball is back. There have been some great games, great performances so far this season, no question about that. That's the Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Don't forget that Zaxby's does catering, party-sized platters of your favorite appetizers, entrees, and sides with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville, the perfect way to cater your upcoming Christmas and holiday parties. We'll head to a break. We're back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Mondays as we talk IU basketball, IU football, and of course for basketball. The month of November over with. Indiana is off to tougher competition now, and that's going to happen right out of the gate this month with Florida State coming to Bloomington very soon. And Indiana football, they are going bowling, and we've known that for a few weeks, but also a big, signature win, you could call it, against rival Purdue. Although it wasn't always pretty, Indiana got it done, was able to record a win over the Boilermakers and finish the regular season on a high note. We'll cover both of those and more with Zach today on the program. Zach, let's start with football first. Indiana, in almost a tale of two different halves, they find a way to get it done against a lackluster Purdue team that's really had some struggles this season, although they came out ready to play at least in one half, made it very close and competitive with Indiana. But down to the wire, Indiana gets that prize victory over the rival Boilermakers to finish the regular season on a high note.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I wonder what a neutral would say about that game. If you could put them in a room with no prior knowledge, you know, today, right now, and no phone, no internet hookup, just have them watch the game sight unseen, clear eyed, and ask them afterward what they think. I think they'd probably tell you it was just a good game. You know, it was definitely affected by the weather and the way that the weather affected the field. It was definitely affected by injuries. Obviously, Purdue's had some long-standing problems there. Indiana has had to grapple with some pretty significant ones here just in the last couple of weeks that clearly changed the Hoosiers' game plan. I think it was also a reminder that, you know, it's easy to forget when you're taking the 10,000-foot view of a team, as I imagine a lot of Indiana fans had for most of this season with Purdue, that Jeff Brohm is still a very good coach and that Purdue still has a lot of talent. And I think it was sort of aptly summed up in the way Greg Doyle, you know, wrote after the game Saturday, that the future looks really bright all of a sudden for both of these programs, which isn't something we've been able to say very often in this state. But I think from Indiana's perspective, it wasn't perfect. It probably was never going to be perfect. Again, I think there were a lot of things working against Indiana, not least being that Purdue's still a good, tough football team. But Indiana gets the win. I think Indiana deserves the win in the end. And, you know, is it a signature win when you're beating a 4-8 team that's got the injury problems Purdue has? Maybe not normally, but it is your rival. And whether people think this is making fun of Indiana or not, I mean, Indiana hasn't had but 8 seasons like this literally ever, and only 6 of them, including this one, since the Big Ten started, you know, since the Big Ten formed. So 2 of them in the old Western Conference. You don't really get to nitpick the hows and whys when Indiana does something it has almost never done before. And you should look at it for what it is. If you're a fan, you should enjoy it. If you're somebody in my position, you look at it and say, you know, there's a lot of reason to believe that the success is only going to continue to compound in the coming seasons. But for the moment, I think if you're IU, you just feel really good about capping what was obviously a very successful season with the bucket and probably with a win that I think internally, if nothing else, Indiana would have felt if it did not beat Purdue. It would not have gotten everything out of this season that it hoped for.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, joining us. IU football, the subject. Good stuff on the win over Purdue. Now everyone looks ahead to going bowling, to where Indiana goes and who the potential opponent. And, of course, first and foremost, you've got to find out the name of the bowl and the location. I've seen maybe a little push by some of these projections out there that Indiana goes to the Gator Bowl. Then there continues to be the Red Box Bowl, the Pinstripe Bowl, maybe one or two projections for the Music City Bowl. What do you see? What you have a projection? I know that you follow the bowl game scenarios, not just for Indiana, but for the Big Ten Conference and how things shake down from the top down pretty closely this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's still very unclear, and I've been saying that for a while, but it's remarkable the degree to which it remains that way this deep into the season. You know, I think the next really big step is going to be the college football playoff rankings this week, because they're not final, but obviously there's only a small number of teams playing this coming weekend after those rankings come out, so you can get a much better idea of who might move, who won't move, you know, who could bump in front of whom and that sort of thing. So you can start to get a firmer idea for basically how many Big Ten teams realistically have a shot at getting into the New Year's Six or the playoff. And then that is going to determine how the bowls shake out, because as we've talked about before, at the moment, it looks like the Big Ten's going to have too many 8, 9, and now maybe even 10-win teams for the bowls that it would typically slot into those, slot those kinds of records into, the Outback Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, the Gator Bowl, or Music City Bowl, because those two were a pairing, and the Holiday Bowl. At the moment, it looks like the Big Ten's basically going to have five teams for four spots. The most noise or the most smoke around any specific bowl game I've been able to discern is the Music City Bowl, which is a bowl that we didn't think was in play for the Big Ten this year, but Scott Ramsey, their president, went on record saying Indiana was in the mix for that game. Indiana has long coveted the idea of playing in the Music City Bowl for obvious reasons. It's an SEC matchup in an NFL stadium in a you know, a city that's unbelievably geographically friendly to Indiana and its fan base. Ramsey was in Bloomington for the Michigan game. I don't think that guarantees Indiana's in the Music City Bowl, but I also don't think that was just sort of a cursory visit, you know, to be up in Bloomington the penultimate weekend of the regular season. I actually think that if you're talking about the Gator Bowl, I think realistically Indiana's got, if it does fall into that tier, a much, much, much better shot at the Music City Bowl, which is not something I would have believed even, you know, a month ago. There is a very, very narrow path to the Outback Bowl. I think it's highly unlikely at this point with Minnesota not winning the Big Ten West, because it'll now be very easy to slot Minnesota into the Outback Bowl in that case. But if there was some world where Minnesota and Penn State both wound up in the New Year's Six, Indiana could go to the Outback Bowl by default, because Wisconsin, Iowa, and Michigan all cannot go there because of selection rules and the fact they've been recently. I think what's more likely is if Indiana doesn't find its way into the Music City Bowl or maybe the Gator Bowl, that Indiana will be the team in the Big Ten that's basically asked to take a bowl beneath its record. It's weird to say that because you don't want to demean those bowls, but I mean, Indiana, you know, would have to go back in that case likely to the Pinstripe Bowl or the Red Box Bowl, two bowls Indiana played in at 6-6. So to go back at 8-4, I think, you know, if you're Indiana, you'd have a right to feel a little bit disappointed, but it's just one of those seasons. The Big Ten can tell Iowa at 9-3, it has to go to the Red Box Bowl. That's possible. There may be other, you know, weird things that can be worked out. The SEC isn't going to come anywhere near filling all of its bowl slots, as an example. So there's a lot that's still kind of juggling up in the air. I think we will get a little bit of clarity with the new playoff rankings. That'll give us an idea of whether or not it's even realistic or even, you know, possible for the Big Ten to get three teams into the New Year's Six once the final rankings are released after Championship Saturday. But if you ask me for my, you know, sort of odds on right now, I'd say the Music City Bowl one, probably the Pinstripe Bowl too, because my guess would be that if Indiana was to drop a tier, then it would at very least be given the allowance of more or less choosing which of those bowls it wanted to go to, and Indiana would certainly want to go back to New York rather than Santa Clara.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Good stuff on football. Let's jump to basketball for a few moments. Indiana closes out the month of November as they were expected to do, they needed to do, 7-0. As they head into a much different December. And we've talked a lot about really getting to know this team and finding out maybe what the capabilities or the ceiling of this team could be would come in December. And I've said that really I think by just a week, 2 weeks from now, after a handful of games against much tougher competition, we'll know more about where this Indiana team stands and what maybe they can or can't do as far as conference standings or the NCAA tournament. How do you summarize things with what you saw in the month of November with IU basketball moving forward?
I think Indiana's in, you know, if you could have said, put a rating scale on it, one being, wow, Indiana looks nowhere near what I thought it would be, 10 being, you know, Indiana is in the best possible position I could imagine Indiana being in, you know, after this sort of month of tune-up games, for lack of maybe a more respectable term for some of these teams Indiana's been playing, I'd probably put Indiana about a 7, you know, somewhere between a 7 and an 8. I think there's a lot of good for Indiana. I think Rob Finney's injury issues continue to linger over this team and are going to as long as they remain kind of unresolved. But I think the offense is further ahead than I expected it to be. I think Trish Jackson Davis is even more impactful than I expected him to be, or at very least, I think we all knew that Jackson Davis had the most potential of those post players, but you just wondered how quickly he could separate himself from that pack. And he's done that, you know, basically within a month of the beginning of his college career. The defense has to continue to progress, obviously. But I think there are, you know, some promising signs there. And I think there's also probably just an element to, you know, this may sound a little bit simplistic, but an element of also understanding that when the arena's got a little bit more energy and you know the opponent's a little bit tougher and all those things, you're just a little sharper. We're still talking about 20 and 21-year-olds. They're still bound to understand that when they're playing Louisiana Tech, it's not the same as when they're playing Florida State. And maybe that'll get them in trouble on Tuesday night. It's possible. But anybody who thought that this was going to be the most, you know, veteran, mature, experienced, professional team in the world probably didn't know what they were looking at to begin with. This is a team that's going to endure some growing pains. But I also think it's a team that has the capacity to really rise to a bigger challenge that's coming this month. Now, how much can it do that? How high can it rise? I think that's the question, because this is a month that you feel like sets the tone for the rest of the year. Indiana's got a couple tricky stretches in Big Ten play, but I think, you know, nothing that is substantially worse than this. And this allows you, over the course of a month, you're only playing, what, five games? I think it's only five. Mm-hmm. So you've got an entire month here, and obviously you're going to have to chop it up with finals and different things like that, but you've only got five games in a month here where every one of them is just going to be its own challenge, and every one of them is going to present you with a different sort of challenge in style of play, matchups, all these different things. Florida State, for example, very long, very athletic. Wisconsin is what Wisconsin is. Nebraska's kind of hard to pin down right now, obviously, with Fred Hoiberg. But then you get, you know, Mooney and Notre Dame, and then you get a surging Arkansas team under Eric Musselman at the end of the month. But you have a lot of time in this month where you won't be playing games to start taking these meaningful results, whether you win or you lose, and get a lot better from them. And I think that this is just this feels like a month where Indiana puts a marker down and says either A, you know, we use November to the fullest and we're ready to really hit the ground running, and we're not going to be perfect, but we're going to be a force, but we're going to be a handful for anybody we play this season. Or B, we're not ready for this. November wasn't enough time, and this is going to be rough all the way through the new year. Or C, we still fall somewhere in the murky middle, and it's going to be like last season where, you know, you're just kind of wondering if Indiana can ever get its feet underneath it. I just feel like we're going to get a tone set for the rest of this season here in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Looking at December, it's actually six games. Florida State, Wisconsin, UConn, Nebraska, and Notre Dame, followed by Arkansas on December 29th to close out the month. We had a question from listener John, who wanted to know your prediction for maybe losses or wins, a record this month for this Indiana team. I know that's awful hard given who Indiana's played so far, but you want to take a stab at a prediction for what you could see this month?
Yeah, it's tricky because Indiana's toughest games, at least right now on paper, look like they're at home. And so you'd tend to kind of lean. I know Indiana's not gotten great crowds, but I also know that, you know, the crowds do tend to show up as the competition stiffens. I don't see Indiana going perfect through this month by any means. But I do think that a 4-1 month is doable. And I don't know where that one is. Is it Notre Dame and Indianapolis? Is it Florida State Tuesday night? You know, can Indiana finally break the you know, Madison curse and win at Wisconsin for the first time in this century? Nebraska is obviously the one that I think you just sort of feel like Indiana will win that game. It's a question of by how much and how comfortably, but Indiana will have enough to win that one. And then Arkansas, I think when there was a coaching change made in Fayetteville in the offseason, everybody sort of looked at that game and said, that'll probably be one that's doable for Indiana this year. But Eric Musselman's got Arkansas playing some really good basketball right now. They're really tough. And so I would say 3-2 or 4-1, you know, maybe lean a little bit more toward 4-1, because I do generally think Indiana's a little bit better than every team it's going to face this month, except maybe Florida State and possibly Arkansas, but both of those games are in Bloomington. So you would tend to give Indiana a little bit of a cushion in those games just because of home court advantage. So I would say I think Indiana has a legit shot at going 4-1 this month. I would be surprised by 5-0. I would be surprised by anything less than 3-2. And if it's anything less than 3-2, Indiana's got some serious issues to grapple with. If it is 5-0, then I'm not saying Indiana's going to win the Big Ten by any means, but all of a sudden I think we do have to adjust our expectations up and start to say, hey, this is a team, you know, that not only should be making the NCAA tournament, but should probably be finishing top five in the Big Ten and really competing for a decent seed on Selection Sunday.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, as always, thanks. Great run on football and basketball. We'll do it again next Monday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Don't forget the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports each day here on the Big X Sports Radio. And at CC Power Sports, they have a great Christmas special going right now. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas. And at CC Power Sports, they're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit, pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can visit ccpowersports.com for more details on this Christmas special. A quick commercial break. We'll return here in just moments with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's AD, IHSA board member, former coach in the area, talking high school basketball and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSAA. Executive board member. He's with us on Mondays. And Chad, we get the chance today to kind of run through some of what happened over the weekend with high school basketball. But first, I should mention, and of course, in your role as an IHSA board member, football state championships, always a great Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving tradition. And there were some interesting storylines and interesting winners there on Friday and Saturday.
Matt, anytime that you get a facility like Lucas Oil that, you know, as a fan, you can kind of move around and be right down the field, that's an opportunity that football fans, high school sport fans should seize the moment to get up to Indianapolis either that Friday or Saturday if you haven't done it already or do it in the future, because it is a great experience and a great venue to just to see how everything works up there. And Lucas Oil Stadium spared no expense on that place, Matt. It's unbelievable how nice it would be. I personally wouldn't want to go to a Colts game because it's so big and it's so crowded. Here, you know, the lower bowl on each side is probably, you know, about where you'd be at. I think on the Friday night game there was 20,000 between the three games show up. So it's not too crowded. It's enough move, but you can move around. You can have room to operate, but you can still see the facility and enjoy it without being ran over. A couple of things on it. You know, you think about the games. Last year, Evansville Memorial goes to 3A. They won it the year before. Last year, they were runner-up. They move up to 4A, and believe it or not, Matt, they won the 4A championship.
Wow.
New Palestine, the same thing. 4A champions last year, and believe it or not, they won the 5A championship. New Palestine may have been the best team in there. You know, their athleticism, their coaching, their strength, what they've done with that is those two teams have risen to the occasion. And, you know, you think about the Memorial team. I told you last year that the two moms, Lindauer and Combs, played basketball at USI. And Ronnie Combs, a New Albany graduate, he started for New Albany for 3 years on the basketball team. His son, who's now at Southern Illinois, was the receiver last year. They lost those guys. You know, Lindauer, Mr. Football nomination last year. Well, Ronnie's other son, Brock, who was on defense all last year, this year he ran the ball, and boy, did he ever run the ball. It was amazing to see what he did. If you get a chance to get on Twitter and see his 64-yard run that capped the game with one shoe, it was unbelievable. But it's no surprise. Ronnie was a hard-nosed athlete. His wife, Annette, was a great athlete, and the kid is a great athlete. And you take all those things, the kid's a great person too. You know, to see them do that, was unbelievable, but those teams stepped up to the challenge and they bumped up a class and they won. So that says something about their programs, their competitiveness, and something that those teams are going to remember forever.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad and I talk local sports on Mondays. High school basketball last week underway, some big games to start things off. I thought some very impressive moments by some of our local teams, and then for other teams, show that they have a lot to figure out here as this thing is underway for 2019-2020 campaign. Jeffersonville down to Cincinnati with a big victory. Some other teams also have gotten their seasons off to nice starts, and then there's some more big games coming not too far down the line.
I think, you know, you start with Jeffersonville on a great start for Coach Moore to go to Cincinnati. You think about how hard it is to win in another county in Indiana. How hard do you think it is to win in another state? And so he went in there and got a big win. And you know, you think the Devils are off to a great start. Look outstanding. I think they got a big opponent coming up this week with Lawrence North at home. Look for the Devils to win that one as well. I think the other one you have to think about is Silver Creek and the way they handled Columbus East. I think Trey Kaufman stepped up with 36 points that game. The Pirates got off to a bad start. We play we play Silver Creek Tuesday. So I'll get an opportunity to see the Dragons firsthand and really see how good they are. But they're going to be a formidable opponent for anyone. They have great players and great coaches. You put those things together, that makes it hard to deal with. You think of Floyd with two big wins over, you know, my pick again in the 1A state championship is Christian Academy, to get a big win against Christian Academy. And then play Harrison in the new arena at Southern Indiana and get a win down there. I think Floyd Central's off to a good start. Then you think about New Albany, you know, to go to Bloomington South. You know, Bloomington South was every bit as good as advertised. And New Albany, you know, without two experienced players who have started for 3 and 4 years, that's expected. But look for the Bulldogs. You know, this gives other kids an opportunity to step up, an opportunity to play, and it'll provide some more depth. You know, it's not how good you are in November. It's how good you are in March. So that'll give Coach Shannon and the Bulldogs an opportunity to have a baseline and see how much better they can get moving forward.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, just glad the season is back. So many opportunities, I think, so far from what we've seen for teams with some great players, great college prospects to have wonderful years. I love your thoughts on Christian Academy. So impressed with them last week for their first game out. TJ Proctor, he could play at any school, any 4A school, and be a contributor there as well. And, of course, we all know about Bailey Conrad. They are really good and going to be fun to watch them come together as we get further into this season.
Well, you talk about those players. Talk about Steve Kerberg for a second. You know, that guy can coach at any level. Not only is he a great person, he's a great coach. He puts the time in, he cares about the kids, and cares about the program. So that's the recipes for Christian Academy to make a good run. You know, we got a lot of season left, Matt, and hopefully our guys stay healthy. Good things happen to them. We got a lot of teams represented in Indianapolis in March.
Chad, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for the chat today, and we'll do it again next week.
Appreciate the run, Matt. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana Sports.
Thank you very much. That's going to wrap us up today as well on this Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.